Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in. Good evening. God bless you. It's time for the Word of God. You've tuned in once again to Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. And I am your faithful friend and your teacher, instructor for this moment in your life. And I know that the Lord has a word for you. I really want to encourage you. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I really want to encourage you with this word. And so, again, call, text, tell people it's time to listen to Bishop Logan at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. This is part two of a message that it's really been helping people. And tonight will be no different. I think tonight will be even more specific. It'll be more direct. It'll be more telling in terms of how you monitor, engage, how the word will help you. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 137, verse number 4. Psalm 137 and verse number 4. Whether you're using a Bible or electronic device, it's still the Word of God. Let's read that verse and we'll pray as our custom usually is. King James Version, Psalm 137, verse number 4. Ready, begin. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Father, I thank you. I thank you for you're a faithful God. We can count on you. We can depend on you. Your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness is great towards your people. Speak through me. Give your people strength, hope. Encourage your people tonight so they can be salt and light in the earth for those that don't yet know you. Anoint me afresh for this hour, this people, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue our teaching on worshiping God in a strange place, part two. Worshiping God in a strange place, part two. It's going to make a lot more sense tonight. So again, our foundational scripture is Psalm 137, verse number 4. The psalm writer says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We're in a strange place. How can we worship? And again, we are indeed in strange times with this pandemic and all the other things that are going on simultaneously in 2020. The first 8 months of 2020 has been strange, and we've all had worship withdrawals. I'll call them worship withdrawals, where we can't worship like we have been used to in a corporate setting in the various churches that we all attend. And all of us are experiencing some type of withdrawal, and with that, some type of anxiety and even maybe frustration. Some maybe even be angry. But we need to understand that God knows the end from the beginning. And we need to understand that God is yet still God. He's still in control. And everything that we've been able to do in terms of approaching God, we can still do. We just have to think about it a little differently. And that's what this message tonight is designed to do. So, this psalm was written when Israel was in Babylonian captivity. And Israel had to learn, and we talked Sunday about how David had to learn how to worship God in the wilderness as Absalom drove him out of his palace, away from the temple, away from the priests, away from the worshipers, and everything that he was accustomed to. David had to make up his mind in the wilderness he was going to worship the God that saved him, used him, and made him the king. And this is the same thing that Israel went through when they again were in Babylonian captivity. And in fact, let's read verse number 1 of Psalm 37 to get a better picture of what's taking place here. Psalm 137 verses 1 and 2. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and cried as we remembered Zion. And that means a lot to those of us that are members of Zion. But this word Zion is the prophetic name for Jerusalem. So what the songwriter is talking about is Jerusalem, because they had been taken away from Jerusalem. And he says they were by the rivers of Babylon. He says, so we sat down and cried as we remembered Zion. Verse 2, he says, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They were so sad that they were removed from their land, that they took their musical instruments and hung them on trees. This is what he says. They hung their musical instruments on trees and refused to worship. My brother, my sister, don't let despair stop you from worshiping. Don't let this strange place that you're in stop you from worshiping. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I'm here every Sunday and Wednesday, mostly every Sunday and Wednesday, looking at pretty much an empty church. But we cannot stop our worship. We cannot stop what we offer to God because the situation in our lives has changed. This is what the songwriter is saying that they did. For our learning, they put up their instruments and refused to worship God because they were no longer in Jerusalem, in their safe space and their sacred place. They refused to worship God because they were no longer in Jerusalem, in their safe space and their sacred place. They said, how can we worship God in a strange land? This isn't my land. This isn't my home. This isn't what I'm used to. Look at what else they say in verse number 6. If I do not remember thee, Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Did you hear what they said? Let me read it again. If I don't remember Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I don't prefer Jerusalem above everything. Did you hear that? Did you really hear that? They thought that they would betray their allegiance to Jerusalem if they worshiped anywhere else. They thought they would betray Jerusalem, not God. They were more committed to Jerusalem than they were to God. I wrote it this way. Some of you that get our notes online, you'll see this. They love the promised land more than the promiser. They loved the promised land more than they loved the promisor. They loved their culture and their way of life, and when they worshiped and how they worshiped and the way they worshiped. They love that more than they love the God who gave all of that to them, which was probably a good reason why they were in exile in the first place. Their priorities got all messed up and they started loving church more than they love God. They love having church, the way they did church, the time they did church, how they dressed when they had church, how they organized everybody in worship. They loved that. That's what they were in love with more than they were in love with God. They forgot they were to worship God because he was God. I believe again, and I'm not the only one saying this on this wise. One of the reasons God has allowed this season is for us to reevaluate and reprioritize what's important in our lives. That's why we're in this, a reason that we're in this strange place. Listen, don't get, hear me, my brother, my sister. Don't you just get caught up looking at how strange it is. I want you to begin to ask God, why is it so strange? And what must I change while I'm in this strange place? Because see, again, they elevated Jerusalem a little bit too much. They elevated the promised land a little bit too much. And they started forgetting the God that promised it to them. They forgot to worship God just because he's God. Not because, hear this now, not because he gave them a special place, but because he made them a special people. Write that down. They forgot that God didn't just give them a special place. He made them a special people. My brothers and my sisters, this place is special to those that are members and those that have been coming here for many years. But I want you to know this place, this space should never become more special to you than God himself. And this is part of the problem that Israel had. They elevated the place and didn't realize God made them a special people. You, my brother, you, my sister, you sitting there with your family, you are special to God. God saved you and made you special. You're the one that's special. And that makes your worship special wherever you release it, because you're special. You're special. You're special. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you. You're special. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. That makes you special. You are the temple. You are, sir. You are, ma'am, the temple of the Holy Spirit. That makes you special. Don't elevate a space above yourself. See, because you and I have been made special, that's what makes our worship special. That's what makes our worship special. Because he made you and I special. As blessed as this place is, it doesn't compare to you. As wonderful as you and I feel when we enter this place, it doesn't compare to how you make people feel when they experience you. You're more special than any place. Write that down. Write that down. You are more special than any place. I'm going to prove it to you. Look at what God told Jeremiah to tell Israel when they went into bondage in Babylon. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll begin reading at verse number 4. This is going to help you as you're being helped already. I sense the presence and the peace of God coming into your heart, into your home, into your life. Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse number 4. I'm reading God's word to the nation's translations. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to all those who were taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what God says to everyone that's now worshiping in a strange place. He says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Get married and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and your daughters. That's another generation. Get married so they can have sons and daughters. Grow in number there. Don't decrease. I speak increase over your life in this strange place. in this season of pandemic. I speak increase first in your spirit, spiritual understanding, first in your mind, understanding the will of God, understanding that God has not forsaken you. I speak increase in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak it, decree it, and declare you will increase and not decrease in any area of your life. He goes on to say, work for the good of the city. Work for the good. Don't be frustrated. Don't get mad and say, I'm not going to do anything. No, be as productive as you have ever been, because the anointing of God is still on your life. I'm talking to you, sir. I'm talking to you, ma'am. I'm talking to you, friend. Be as productive as you ever have been. Don't you dare shut down in frustration. Do everything you can to cause production and increase to continue around you. He says, work again for the good of the city where I have taken you as captives, and pray to the Lord for that city. Wherever you live, pray for that city, pray for that community. Wherever you are working, if you don't want to work, if it's not safe to work, pray anyway, not just for yourself, but pray that God protects everybody in that place that you work right now, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look at what God tells the prophet to tell the people. Basically, he's telling them to live a normal life in a strange place. Live a normal life. Hallelujah. Live, my brother. Live a normal life, my sister. My God. You're going to live and not die. I speak life into your spirit. I speak life into your situation. Live a normal life. Get up tomorrow and do what you used to do in January, or in December rather, of 2019. Get up tomorrow and do what you used to do in November of 2019. Get up tomorrow and do what you did in the summer of 2019. Live a normal life. Don't you stop doing the things you did before. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? God is saying, don't stop doing the things you did before. Do all you can to live a normal Christian life. Don't stop doing good. That's why God anointed Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. You got to get up and do good. You got to get up and speak well. If you are a person that can't leave a particular space or place, you can reach out by a phone, social media. You can still release your anointing and do good and speak healing and salvation and deliverance over people. You can still do good. That's what the prophet told the people, that God said. So I'm, as the prophet Jeremiah, I'm not Jeremiah, but just like Jeremiah, I'm going to tell you to keep your holiness intact in this strange land. You stay holy. Keep your holiness intact. Everything you did in 2019 to stay holy, you do it now in 2020 to stay holy. Keep your prayer life intact, the way you used to pray. In fact, we need to pray more now than we did in 2019. So I'm speaking to your prayer life. I'm encouraging you to elevate your prayer life in this strange place. I'm encouraging you. You gave in 2019, you keep on giving. Don't you stop sowing your kingdom seeds. Sow more now that you're in this pandemic, that you're in this strange place. Keep doing what you did before. As a giver, keep on giving. Keep on sowing seeds in this strange place, because sowing, praying, serving, and giving is not strange to God. Keep your worship life intact. Put your worship music on. You can go back as old school as you want. You can go back to James Cleveland. You can go back to the Mississippi Mass Choir. If you like choirs, you can come forward. You can do some of the new things. But you make sure you keep worship as a part of your life. You keep your worship life intact. Why? The land may be strange, but worshiping God is not strange. It's strange for believers to stop worshiping God. Write this down. This is a matter of fact. This is a truth. This is not my opinion. And I want you to write this down and meditate on it. Worship is the highest activity a person can be engaged in. Worship is the highest. There is nothing higher a human being can do than worship God. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is greater. No activity is greater than worshiping God. David made singing a crucial part of worship when he became king after he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. There was 24-hour praise and worship. Keep singing. Even if you don't feel like it, if it feels strange, singing without Keelan, Ferris, Dorsey, all the other band members. If it seems strange to sing without the praise and worship and the choir members, sing anyway. Because God is worthy to be praised. Singing, they said, how can we, and this is, I don't want to go into this deeply right now. They said, how can we sing the Lord's song? The song of the Lord and the Lord's song. Let me just say this, because I got to move from here, because I could get stuck here. Singing the song of the Lord is the most intimate worship you can give God. It's His song. You've heard it. You've heard it. Maybe some of you even have this. You've been married a long time, and it's called your song, the song that you played at your marriage reception or your wedding reception. That's your song. And when you hear that song, it invokes so much emotion. It draws you back to that moment why you married your husband, why you married your wife, and it takes you to a very heightened and a very emotional place. Well, that's what the song of the Lord does. It's a song that you sing to God that just stirs up so much anointing and invokes so much and of His presence. That's the song. And so they're saying, we can't perform for you. They said, perform. Now, we can't perform this in front of you. This is too personal. This is too intimate to do this and just do this for you. See, that's why I don't like the word performance in worship, because we're not performing. This is too intimate. I don't know who's watching. I know we got children watching, but you know what I'm talking about. Intimacy between a husband and wife is not a performance unless it's pornography. So they're saying, we can't be intimate with God in your presence so you can just watch. This isn't why we worship. Are you hearing the preacher? We don't worship just so people can watch. We don't worship just so we can get hits. We don't worship just so people can see we got it going on. No. This, when we worship God, it's an intimate moment. It's an intimate time. And you can do that right where you are. You don't need a whole bunch of people around you to get close to God, to have an intimate moment with God where He changes you for time and eternity. Worship, write this down, is sacred. Worship is sacred. It's attention. Hear this. It's attention we give God that we give to no one else. That's what worship is. Worship is attention that we give to God that we don't give to anybody else. Let's go deeper. When Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, this is exactly the lesson that he taught. And now it's time for us to go deeper into this understanding of the intimacy of worship. Why it's not based on places. It's not. When Jesus, for time's sake, meets this woman at the well, Jesus is a Jew, as you know, and she is a Samaritan woman. And the Jew and the Samaritans didn't have much to do with each other. They didn't relate much with each other. They didn't care for each other very much. And so when Jesus talks to this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he says, go get your husband. She said, well, I ain't married. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the cat you with now is your boo. Yeah, you've had five husbands, and now you got a boo. And she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And what Jesus was saying was, he says, listen, obviously you don't care who you get intimate with. Your intimacy is not exclusive. So in John chapter 4, verse 19, the woman says, I see that you're a prophet. In verse 20, she goes on to say, our ancestors worshiped in this mountain, but you Jews say that people must worship in Jerusalem. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says in verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Jesus said, let me tell you something. Either place doesn't matter. Because there's coming a time when God is sure enough not going to be in Jerusalem like you think. He's not going to be on your mountain like you think. God is changing worship locations. Come on, lift your hands right there. I want you to be delivered. I want you to be delivered to worship God wherever you are, in a one-bedroom apartment, in your studio. If you have to go in your bathroom and get in the shower, I want you to be released to worship God in that strange place. If you have to go in your basement or into a cellar, oh God, somebody has to go into their garage. That's all right. That's not a strange place when it comes to worshiping God, because God made you special, not the place. And this is what Jesus is telling us by telling this Samaritan woman. Let me read it for your hearing again. He said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming, the time is coming, where God ain't cared about worshiping on this mountain, and neither is it important that you worship in Jerusalem. The Jews didn't get that when they were in captivity in Babylon. Jesus said, it's not going to matter where you worship. The time is coming, and in fact, it is here right now. It's not about a special place of worship. Let me ask you a question. Do you really think the worship of God stops because we can't come to church? Do you really think you're shortchanging God because we can't come together and worship corporately like we used to? Of course not. See, before God created the heavens and the earth, God created beings that worshiped him. God has always had beings that worship him. God has never been without worship. Never. And we can't use never because God lives in eternity. So there's eternity past and eternity future for us. God has always had worship. Upon Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, before his crucifixion, he comes by the Mount of Olives and a multitude of people are praising and worshiping and rejoicing over him. Let's pick it up in Luke chapter 19. I'm almost finished. Verse 38. The people were saying, "Blessed be the King," talking about Jesus, "that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now watch this. Verse 39. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop worshiping you. Tell them to stop saying these great, grandiose things about you. Tell them to stop being this intimate with you in public like this. Tell them not to say these things about you." Listen to what Jesus says. Verse number 40. This brought me to tears. Jesus said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." One translation says, "If they keep quiet, immediately," my God, "immediately the rocks will cry out." If they don't worship me, Jesus said, if they stop, if they close their mouths, the rocks will immediately begin to do what they stop doing, because God is worthy to be praised. He always has been, he always will be. And even in this strange place, excuse me, that we are in right now, you and I need to worship him. In fact, lift your hands right where you are again. If you can't lift them both, lift one. If you can't lift either one of them, lift your head back and just begin to thank God for him being God, because he alone is worthy to be praised. He alone is worthy to be magnified. He alone is worthy to be lifted up. And I don't want any rock to cry out for me. That's songs that we used to sing. Don't let a rock cry out for you. I know you're in a strange place. I know you're frustrated. I know you're tired of working at home and dealing with the kids and dealing with the family and dealing with your husband and dealing with this and that. And I know you are, but you have to stop and lift your hands up from time to time and begin to bless the name of the Lord, because he's worthy to be praised. Because if you and I don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. In fact, all of creation is praising him. The sun, moon, and stars, the wind as it blows is praising him. That's why you and I have to worship him. We cannot stop worshiping God. We must not stop. Jesus said, if they stop, immediately the stones will cry out, because God will be praised. God will be worshiped. God will be magnified. So my brothers and my sisters, we better not wait until we can come back to church to worship God. We better not wait. We can't afford to wait to give him our praise. We can't afford to wait to give him our worship. I know these are strange times, but people, David, nation, Israel, have been in strange places before. And God said, keep doing what you've always done, including worship. My brother and my sister, don't think your praise is reserved for a building. I can't praise him like I want to. Yes, you can. It's not about you praising him like you want to. It's about you praising him because he deserves to be praised. This has nothing to do with us. That's part of the problem. We want to praise like we want to praise. We want to have a praise party. My brother, my sister, praise ain't a party. Worship is intimacy with God. It's about a special people giving special attention to their special God, who keeps doing special things for us. Has he not kept you during this season? Have you missed anything during this epidemic, this pandemic? Have you really not been kept? Has he not still been God? Has he not still been good? Has he not still taken care of you? Has he not still protected you? Has he not still been everything that he said that he's going to be? So then you better not wait until you get to church to worship him. Worship him in your strange place. Why? He's worthy of it. Speak well of God. Don't you dare stop speaking well of God because you don't like how things are going. He's still God. Speak well of him. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Acknowledge him for who he is. Keep doing everything that you've done, including worshiping God. Jesus tells the woman at the well, and I'm closing. He says, "Woman, the hour is coming, and now is, where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is looking for these kind of worshipers." He's not looking for pretenders, actors, folk that gotta praise God in front of people. Folk that can't praise God if they don't have a Hammond B3. Folk that can't praise God unless they hear their favorite song. People that can't worship God unless they come into the church and have something that man has told them to do, that man has scripted for them to do. Worship is not a script, A and B, serve. No, that's not worship. Jesus said the Father is looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You can do that anywhere, under any circumstance. That's what God is looking for. So don't wait till you can come back to church. Give him everything that you gave him before, and you'll be just fine. Father, I thank you. I pray that this word has brought clarity and relieve the pressure and relieve the anxiety and the pressure that's on your people. Oh my God, help us. Enlarge our borders, the borders of our thinking. Broaden our understanding, oh God. Help us see what we really need to see in this hour, so we can give you everything you require, even in a strange place. Cause us, oh God, to remember you made us special, and from the special place we have in your heart, we worship you. Ah, hallelujah! Because you've transformed us, because we're not what we used to be, it's easy to access your presence. It's easy to invoke your presence. It's easy to speak well of you, because no one else could have done for us what you did for us through your Son and by the power of Holy Spirit. So we bless your name. Oh, yes, God. We sing to you in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We make melody in our heart to you all day long, because you are great. Hallelujah. And you're greatly to be praised. Oh, blessed be your name. I'm going to stop because I feel like running. Listen, I know this message has helped you. I believe it's blessed you. And I believe it'll bless others. Share it with them. And while you do that, please text support for this ministry. Use the number at the bottom of the screen so we can continue getting this word out in so many different ways. Our new podcasts, Facebook, our Boxcast, on our webpage, YouTube. We just want people to be able to understand the season that they're living in and know how to respond in a way that pleases God. That's why we're here. So the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. May his face shine upon you is what I require. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.
Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.